Let's do that hockey.
Welcome to Dauber Prospects Report, a member of the Hockey Podcast Network. This is report number 56. I'm Victor Nuno, one of the co-hosts here, and with me is Peter Harling. How you doing, Pete?
Not too bad, Victor. Back's on the mend. I've been struggling with back, so it's nice to be able to stand again. That's always good.
Standing's so overrated.
Yeah, I timed it well, though. You know, like, I missed a week's worth of work, and I had hockey all day to watch with the U18s, and then Stanley Cup at night, so I swear that wasn't faking. That was just convenient timing.
Did your employer feel the same way about it?
He doesn't really follow hockey, so it worked out.
Canadian doesn't follow hockey?
I don't know, right? It's weird.
Yeah, it must not be a real Canadian. No. And Evan's here, too. How you doing, Evan?
Good, guys. Just, you know, got done watching the draft lottery. Red Wings got robbed again. I really thought that 0.5% chance was going to come through. Sneak into the top five, and we were all ready for it at my house. And my wife just said, oh, that sucks. And so it didn't happen once again.
At least Anaheim didn't come in second this time.
Yeah, you know, I hate how they do that in the draft lottery, because they get down to the first, the one and the two pick, and then they show San Jose as the number one pick. But if you're not listening, which half the time I don't listen to it, I thought Chicago had won it. I'm like, oh, no, not again. But it's they say San Jose wins it, and Chicago's too. But the same thing happened to me at the Ducks draft party last year with Anaheim. I thought they had won it. I was like, why is everybody? Oh, shit, no. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are glad that the Hawks got some karma and didn't win it. Although they got second, right? They're still going to get Demidov. That's going to work out pretty good. Demidov on Bedard's wing. That should be all right.
I don't know. I think they go defenseman. That's my prediction. But they're going to get a great player at two for sure.
They picked the wrong time to go into the best time to go into this rebuild. I mean, they're just hitting on everything now. It sucks.
Well, that's the key to a rebuild, right? Like, what's the point of tanking and you get Ryan Nugent Hopkins first overall? Like, Nuge is a nice player. He's good, right? Yakupov and whoever else they got first overall. Like, man, you got to time that better.
But guys, we're burying the lead. Macklin Celebrini is coming home. He played, for those of you that don't know, he played for the Junior Sharks. And his dad is the trainer for the Golden State Warriors. And so coming back to the Bay Area, he definitely left the Bay Area, though, like 4 or 5 years ago, because he was too good for this junior team. And then when played at Shattuck's and Chicago Steel and obviously BU. But it'll be pretty cool, you know, for him to have his family nearby. And I think we can all agree the Sharks absolutely need him. Still going to be a long way, even though they got him.
He looked really, really great. Surprised that he's going to San Jose. He looked overwhelmed with joy. I hate how they bring him up there on that stage, man. It just feels so awkward. It's like, you don't want to say, yeah, I'm going number one, but whatever. But it's funny because Buchegross was talking to him before, and he's like, so, you know, you've been jumping on Zillow to see, you know, for houses or where you're going to live. And he just looked at Buchegross and goes, what's Zillow?
Pretty good poker face there. He didn't like say pump his fist or do a celly or anything like that. He took the Daniel Negreanu masterclass in poker faces, I think.
Yeah, well, that's the lottery is obviously an exciting thing, but we're also going to talk about some other exciting things, and that is a review of the U18s, which just wrapped up a couple days ago as we're recording this. And we did a little preview a couple weeks ago. And then this is some guys that caught our eye since, and maybe some standouts from that. So, and maybe some guys who increased their draft stock, or one or two guys who maybe pooped on it a little bit. So we'll definitely cover all that. This episode is brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network and DraftKings. Follow at HockeyPodNet for more great podcasts that talk about hockey. You can use the DraftKings promo code THPN for listening to the show. More on that in a bit. We're also proudly sponsored by Fantrax, the ultimate league manager for any dynasty sport you play, completely customizable for however you want to set up your league, from scoring categories, an amazing draft room, host a draft pick trading, treasury options, so much more. Use our promo code to sign up for a free league using the link fantrax.com/DPR show. All right, so we're going to talk about a couple different guys. For those of you that don't know, it was USA and Canada in the gold medal game, which is always fun. It's always epic. And this game, I think, was particularly exciting. It was kind of back and forth. There was some key turning points in the game, which we'll talk about. Ultimately, Canada did win. But we're going to start with the Americans, and we'll let Pete bring it home with his Canadian boys. So I'm going to talk about some of the guys. Evan's going to chime in here a little bit. But I think, without a doubt, this tournament is kind of interesting. Normally, this is the tournament where you see the draft-eligible guys really stand out. But I think it was kind of interesting that it was the underagers that really stole the show here. Gavin McKenna, we'll talk about Porter Martone later for Canada. And James Higgins was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, the guy broke Nikita Kucherov's record for the most points at a U18 tournament. Some people thought that would never go down. But James Higgins, being an underager and scoring 22 points in 7 games, is just absurd. I mean, there was a point where he was averaging like 3.4 points per game, and he had a 3-point game, and it decreased his projection for the tournament. That's ridiculous when you have 3 points and it lowers your point pace. He's not eligible until 2025, so get your 2025 draft picks in order. The guy is really good, and he's off to BC next year, so BC might lose some players. They already lost Cutter Gauthier, but they're going to be getting one of the most incredible freshmen. Again, we're going to see another incredible freshman class in college, and it's going to be like almost a repeat of last year with what we saw potentially with Celebrini. I mean, I don't know if Higgins can upstage what Celebrini did. Maybe. I mean, he's really that good. It's possible that he could have more points. He's not the same kind of player, though. He's more of a dynamic offensive player, and Celebrini is definitely better two-way, but he's pretty exciting. You have anything to say about Higgins there, Pete?
He was a dominant player. I mean, really, on a team that was loaded offensively and had so many great players, for an underage player like that to stand out the way he did, it says so much. You know, start the tank. Start the tank now for the guys in the 25, 26 draft. There's so much talent coming.
There certainly is. So we'll have plenty of time to talk more about those guys. So let's focus a little bit more on some of the draft eligibles. It was kind of interesting. Like, some of them didn't really pop off too much. I think, you know, some maybe we didn't learn too much. Some maybe we did learn some. I think the guy to me stood out the best from the American team that maybe increased his draft stock the most was Teddy Stiga. And we did talk about him in our preview, but it's worth kind of maybe re-mentioning because he's consolidated right now 55th overall. EP has him at 23, but there are some, like Bob McKenzie has him at 68, which is like a third rounder. So it's wild. He might go anywhere between the late first and the third round, but I think this tournament really increased his stock quite a bit. He had 11 points in 7 games, but it wasn't just the points. I mean, this guy, he drew penalties. He, you know, was playing on the right side of the puck. He caused turnovers. He created turnovers for the Americans. He was really driving play, moving things in the right direction. He's kind of one of these all situation kind of forwards. He's not just the guy you put out there to score a goal. You can defend a lead. You can score. He's really versatile, and that's what I really liked about him. And at the Americans, we're trying to lean on him, and he was doing his best. Some other activities derailed him a little bit. So he was one that I think really increased his stock. Cole Iserman, we've also talked a bit about Iserman. He is pretty much, I think, likely to go in the middle, the top of the first round. And, you know, the shot is something we've talked about. He, in that gold medal game, broke the record for the most goals at the USNTDP. He beat Cole Caulfield's record. And the guy, you know, he has an incredible shot. We've talked about that. At the point when he scored that goal, it was 2-1 USA. And I thought, well, if this stays a low scoring game, that has a chance to be the game winner, which is pretty cool. It's pretty cool that he scored the record breaking goal in a big moment like that. At the time, it seemed maybe like it was bigger than it ended up being, because they ended up obviously losing and a lot more goals were scored after that. But, you know, I think the big question about him is, did we see enough from him away from the puck? And I think we saw some. Like, I think he was a little bit more engaged off puck. He was a little bit more, you know, trying to round out his game a little bit. But I just don't think it was enough. Like, there wasn't a lot that I saw there. And he's certainly, you know, not the kind of player that you are going to put out there to necessarily protect a lead in all situations. He's a very specific type of player. So any thoughts on those two, Pete? I don't think we learned too much about Yzerman. I think we kind of, you know, we same that we already knew, like he's good at scoring goals, but not so much about other things. But Stiga was one who really impressed me. Did he stand out to you at all?
He did. And he was someone who I was particularly keying in on. Russ Cohen had him ranked in his first round, and he's one of the only people. And as I've been going through and doing my draft rankings, I'm checking to see what other people are thinking. And so I chatted with Russ, and he said he's pretty underrated, and Russ has seen a lot of him play. So I haven't. So I was really keen to see how he played. And I thought he was really versatile, right? Not really excellent in any one category. Like, he's not the most skilled player. He doesn't have the best shot. He's not the biggest guy. He wasn't the fastest, but he did a lot of everything really nice. And I could see him becoming a really nice top six complementary player who's a bit of a chameleon and can play different roles in different situations, can move up and down rosters as need be if there's injuries or whatnot, and could play with a variety of different style of players too. I'm really excited for him. I think he's really underrated, and I think this tournament really put a spotlight on him and helped gain some notoriety for him. So for Yzerman, though, I really liked, we saw the goal scoring, and that was great. We knew that. We've seen it. That's nothing new. The kid loves to shoot. He should do more of it because he's really good at it. But I thought he was really engaged in this tournament, right? The criticisms on him have been his indifferent play at times. And, you know, I thought he played well off the puck, and he gets a lot of Cole Caulfield comparisons because of the goal scoring prowess. But aside of the goal scoring, they're not very similar. And he's got a much, much bigger toolkit than Caulfield does, because he's got a little bit more size to work with. So if Cole Caulfield's not scoring, he's hard pressed to be, or creating offense, I should say. You know, what are you getting from him? And you can say the same thing about Yzerman, but now he's starting to develop that component of his game where he doesn't necessarily have to score a goal, be impactful in a game. There's still a lot of work to go there, especially at higher levels, you know, at the pro level. We'll see how that turns out. But some of the games that we saw in this tournament were really promising and showed the potential for some of that, I thought.
Yeah, I'll jump in on Cole Yzerman too. He was, you know, I'm looking at all the mock drafts now. It's mock draft season, obviously. And I've seen him going anywhere from 5 to 17 or 18. I think he's a guy that could drop in this draft. I know there were attitude issues. I read some interview the other day about him speaking in the third person, which, you know, of course, blew everybody up on Twitter. But I mean, there's no denying, you know, it seems like the one trick pony. But as Pete always says, that one trick is pretty good. I would love to see Steve Yzerman, and remember, he's not related to Steve Yzerman, but I would love to see Steve Yzerman come to the podium at 15 if he was still there and grab him for the Red Wings. But you can't deny the goal scoring ability, but I can see him dropping out of the top 10 just because of all the things that Pete just alluded to.
Yeah, these unidimensional players often do tend to drop a little bit, even though he is a really good goal scorer. And I definitely agree with what you said, Pete, about Stiga. Versatility, I think, is just the name of the game with him. And I could see him moving up a little bit. Don't think he goes before Yzerman, but I could see him moving into the first round. Let's talk about another American, the defenseman, Cole Hudson. Yes, Lane's little brother. And he is now the all-time point scoring leader at the USNTDP for defensemen. Think about that. All the amazing defensemen that have come through that program, you know, from Quinn Hughes, you know, obviously Adam Fox, Cam York, that was Lane Hudson. And he is tops, 116 points in 111 games. Not only is he tops in total points, but he has the best point per game pace, which is also incredible. Even if he didn't get the total, he would have had the points per game mark. And that's just really ridiculous. And the other thing I think that's interesting about Cole, I mean, obviously it's easy to compare him to his big brother, and what Lane is doing is just ridiculous. I'm not sure that he's quite as dynamic as Lane in terms of what we've seen Lane do at the collegiate level and even a little bit in the NHL already. I'm not sure that Cole is quite like that, but he is really smart. He is really savvy. He's maybe a slightly better skater, more physical. But he's also like, in terms of his where he, how old he was and he's getting drafted here, which is his birth date is on day one of the draft. He's almost 6 months younger than Lane. So that's, that can make a big difference in terms of he's played this whole season as a 17-year-old and he played his U17 as, you know, a little bit younger as well. So he's always been quite a bit younger. And at that stage of development, it can make a big difference. So will he catch up and be the same as his brother? We won't really know, but I think it'll be interesting to see what teams do now that they've seen what Lane can do. Well, they've seen that the size hasn't really been of an issue. And Cole's actually a little bit taller than Lane was at the same age. He's already 5'10", whereas Lane was like 5'8" at the same time. So, you know, he's already 5'10". Could he be 5'11"? Could he even be 6 foot? Then it completely changes the conversation. I don't know that Cole's going to come with the, you know, the radiographs and the evidence of his bone, you know, growth like Lane did to show that he's still going to grow a little bit more. We'll see if that happens. But I just have a hard time thinking that the teams are going to make sort of the same quote unquote mistake with Cole as they did with Lane. I think someone's going to step up and take him a little bit earlier. What do you think, Pete? Do you think he goes earlier or later, around the same time as his brother?
I think he goes a lot sooner. I'm not sure he's going to break the top 32 pick threshold or not, but it's going to be close. He'll be right around. I'll say the over under on 32, 10. So no higher than 22 and no later than 42 would be my estimate. I got him ranked a little bit higher than that on my own draft rankings, which are fantasy driven. You know, on the Canadian broadcast, Craig Button said it a couple of times. He said that Cole is just as good, if not better, than his brother Lane was at this stage of an age of his development. In fact, he's younger, and team slept on Cole Caulfield because of the size and the defensive deficiencies that they felt that he had, and that there was a lot of reward, but a lot of risk. And it's leaning a lot harder towards the reward side on Lane Hutson for Montreal after taking him late in the second round. So he's, you know, warning teams not to make that same mistake. And I don't think they will. I don't think the team's going to overreach on him like people will in fantasy drafts. Because there's, you know, the good and the bad that come with a player like that. The bad is really bad in real hockey. Who cares in fantasy hockey? You know, it's just, he's just giving up a goal for someone else, maybe, that you might not have been going head to head against. So it really doesn't matter if he gives up a few goals too. So it's a lot easier to live with the offensive rewards that you get. Yeah, I would say he's going to go higher than Lane.
Yeah, I think Lane went at 62. So that's what, the end of the second? I don't think there's any way he drops, especially with the name value, after everyone's seen how great, you know, Lane has been. I think Cole's at the end of the first round. I think that someone's going to jump on that. The name's too big, and with what Lane's done, it's just, I don't know. I think he goes earlier.
I think you guys are probably right, but you can't, and I think in fantasy drafts, that's certainly accurate, but you can't underestimate how real, you know, actual NHL teams continue to be skeptical about Lane, even to this day, because, you know, it's like he had a couple of good games, but can he really do that? You know, can he really play a top four role? I think there's still skeptics about him, but all it takes is one team to take him at, you know, 40 or whatever. I think it'll happen. I think you're right.
I was taking him at 5 just to pair him up with his brother. Something stupid.
that seems silly. I don't know if you want two of the same guy on the same team. I know that Evan's going to talk a little bit about this guy, but I just want to mention Trevor Connolly. He was the lone skater that was not from the USNTDP that was brought to this team. He played in the USHL for Tri-City. And he had 9 points in 7 games in the tournament, and he's certainly a dynamic offensive player. But if you didn't watch the game, he basically took the penalty that completely changed the dynamic of this game. The U.S. was winning. I think it was 3-2 at the time, or was it 4-3? I can't remember. They were up by a goal, and Trevor Connolly had a head hit. No real debate about it. It was a 5-minute major, stupid penalty, didn't need to take it. Guy was not even really involved in the play. And the 5-minute major led to 3 goals for Canada and essentially lost the tournament for the Americans. So I don't know that anyone hurt his stock more than Trevor Connelly. I mean, it's hard to pin it on one young man and say he lost it for the Americans, but it kind of feels like that. It kind of feels like if the Americans weren't going to win, it was going to be really close and it was going to be hard for Canada to come back, but you gift them a 5-minute major with that dynamic power play. And it's just an opportunity you can't give the other team. And yeah, I think it's going to be reflected in his draft stock. I think teams are going to look at that and say, you can't make that terrible decision at a big moment like that. Do we even want this guy in our organization? So that's my thought. What do you think, Evan?
Well, I mean, if there was one guy whose draft stock was already hurting, you know, with off ice issues, it was Trevor Connelly. And then to pull that kind of move, you know, on the biggest stage right before the draft was even, you know, just it dumbfounded me. The guy's got all the talent in the world. He's, you know, you mentioned he's the only member of the USA that wasn't a member of the USNDP. And that was because of some off ice issues. I'm not going to go into that. You can Google it if you want. And it's the last thing we need to talk about in the show today. But yeah, that penalty was big. And it was stupid. And I think he himself would even tell you that it was. But for a guy who a lot of scouts are saying that they wouldn't touch this kid, that's and they were saying that before this incident occurred. I'm curious as to how far he drops, because I've read scouting reports that say he's the second most talented player behind even Celebrini. Now, I don't believe that, but apparently some scouts do. Of course, they won't go on the record and say who. But, you know, there's no denying his talent. He's a very gifted, dynamic offensive player. But again, you know, we see it every year with these guys who have off-ice attitudes and how they are doing something else stupid, how they drop in drafts. Teams don't want to deal with that because more often than not, it can backfire. And that's just not something teams want to deal with from an organization standpoint, from, you know, how their fan base feels about it standpoint. And so I think it's going to be interesting to see where he drops to. I think he's a top 10 talent, but with the headache that we've seen so far that he's kind of caused, I think he's going to drop. Where do you think he falls in this draft?
I'm looking at some of these teams that have a history of not giving an F about those kinds of things. And I'm looking at Montreal at 27, Carolina at 28. I don't know that he falls that far, but I mean, we saw Montreal kind of shock us all and take Logan Mailloux at the end of the first a few years ago. I could definitely see them doing that. I don't know that, you know, I mean, Vegas seems to have some of that attitude as well, but I think so many of these teams I don't know that he goes top 15. And so you look at after that, who are the teams that, you know, can take a risk like that? I don't think the Islanders can really take a risk like that. Although maybe, you know, maybe he has so much upside. They do that. I don't know that Toronto would do that. LA, I doubt. So yeah, I don't know. He might go all the way to Montreal, Pete. What do you think?
So here's what I think. I don't know the kid at all. And I don't really know anything about him other than his hockey ability, which is top 12 talent, as far as I'm concerned. What I do know about his personality is what I've read. And he made a mistake when he was really young, a couple years ago. It was bad. It was stupid. But man, when I was that age, I did and said and thought a lot of things that 50-year-old Pete is embarrassed and ashamed of. And I grew and developed and matured. So, you know, I read that he's going to counseling and therapy and doing community work and coaching teams of color and all that stuff. And that's great. You know, is he doing that because he's choosing to, or because he's just trying to do brand awareness? I don't know. Like I said, I don't know the kid, but at that young of an age, he's absolutely entitled to a second chance, right? Like, absolutely. And if he continues to be Sean Avery about it, then forget about it. You know, like, then he's just a douchebag. As far as the hit in the game goes, I don't think I don't connect those two storylines. I think that was just an unfortunate circumstance where a kid is in a high pressure situation. And emotions and adrenaline are through the roof, and he's trying to finish a check. I don't think he was going out of his way to injure anybody. And I think he just got a little high on the hit, and unfortunate for him. And then the rules are the rules. They reviewed it and it was straight to the head. So it is what it is. Like, it's like puck over glass. It's There it is. It's a hit and it's to the head. It's a 5-minute major and a game misconduct. So sorry, not sorry. Those are the rules. And unfortunately for him, USA wasn't able to kill the penalty, and it cost them the gold. It literally cost them the gold medal. And I feel so bad for the kid. I mean, he's just trying to do good on the ice, right? He's just trying to be a complete player. He's just trying to throw a hit, and it could not have gone worse. Well, I guess the player could have been injured. That would have been a little worse. So I think really what for Trevor Connolly, the most important thing for him this season is going to be the interviews at the draft combine. That's where we're going to find out where he goes. He's going to have his cards on the table there. You know, like, teams are going to ask him questions. They're going to interview him. They're going to get to know him, and they're going to decide that, you know, like, this kid has made a bad mistake a long time ago. And, you know, by all accounts, they'll talk to his coach and his teammates and his agent, and everyone who knows him, and his friends and teammates. And, you know, you talk to the guys on Team USA, what are they on right now? Nothing. So if they ask the guys on the Team USA, is he a good guy? And they're like, yeah, he's a good guy. Wish he wouldn't have thrown that hit, though. It really changed the color of my medal. But, you know, he's really good, and he didn't mean to make a bad play. I mean, he didn't say anything wrong the whole tournament. He didn't do anything wrong the whole tournament. He just took a bad penalty at a bad time. Then, you know, if he passes the smell test in the interview, what have you got to go off then for your draft ranking? You've got his play on the ice, and that puts him in the top 15. So I would not be surprised if he went a lot sooner than you guys are thinking. A lot sooner.
Well, let me be clear. I'm not tying the two, the hit and the other off ice thing. And I do believe, yeah, that these kids do deserve a second chance. I mean, this is a different world that they're growing up in than the world that we grew up in. Because with social media, you say one wrong thing and it's blasted across the world nowadays. And these kids have to suffer the consequences for that. And I don't think at times it's fair. They do deserve second chances. I did want to point out, though, that he had 31 penalty minutes in 7 games for the U.S., and that's not a player who should be taking that many penalty minutes. But, no, you can't deny the talent. But what I did want to know from you guys is, well, I don't think you heard me guys correctly, but where do you think he would be drafted? Because you said top 12, then you said top 15, but where do you think he would be drafted if there wasn't those off-ice issues?
I think he's top 15 if they're there. Top 15? Yeah. I agree with you, Evan. I don't connect those two things at all, but, you know, I do a lot of, you know, interviewing and, you know, like, medical school admission stuff. And I think it's similar in the sense that when you have multiple little things and they may not be connected, but now you have these little red flags, and, you know, he may not have meant to do it, Pete. I don't think he did either, but it was a really bad play at a really bad moment. And so, does he have, like, it's a question, does he have the ability to, you know, pull back on that and to not, you know, make those kind of bad plays? Probably. I mean, I don't know, right? You can't say that he's going to be like that the rest of his career. Nobody's saying that, obviously.
Not enough sample size,
but it's another, like, all these little red flags just add up. Sure. And it makes other teams want to say, yeah, maybe we'll pass. So I think more teams will pass now than otherwise would have, but it only takes one team to take him at 15, and then that's where he goes. So I think I agree with you. It's still fairly likely that that could happen because it only takes one team, but I think that that could cause a few more teams to be out on him than maybe otherwise would have. And I totally agree too that the interviews are going to be huge. And I haven't heard anything to really corroborate that he is still that person he was when he was younger. It seems like he's really working on it. So I don't really hold that up anymore, but because he's had these minor red flags, he has had to do extra things to change the narrative. And I think for the most part he has. And then that terrible hit was like a giant step back for him, which was unfortunate. And a step back in a different way, because it wasn't the same thing that happened before, but it definitely is going to hurt him a little bit. And he's going to have to talk about it, you know, for a long time, unfortunately. And I'm sure he's going to have to live with it because, yeah, I think Hadi Alakesh on Twitter said that I'd love to be a fly on the wall when his teammates walk back into that room, and he knows that he cost everyone in that room a medal, and I'm sure he feels awful. Like, you can't change it. Like, it just happened, and he didn't mean to, and it sucks, but it's definitely going to follow him around, unfortunately.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours.
There's a couple other guys I wanted to mention, Pete, and then we'll get to your Canadians. I just wanted to mention Konsta Hellenius. You know, he was the Finns in this tournament were definitely a little bit underwhelming, but he was good. He just wasn't amazing, you know, and I think he could have potentially moved himself up into like the top, you know, eight range. And I think him being just really good, but not amazing, reinforces to me the fact that Konsta Hellenius, I think, is a fantastic complementary player. He's a good, you know, he's a good piece for a team, but he is not the kind of player that is going to, you know, take everyone on his back and drive them to the promised land necessarily. So, you know, he's not your Celebrini type, but he's still really, really good. And I don't think this tournament hurt him. He's going to go play for the men's world team, which is fantastic. The guy I think who maybe did help himself that I was kind of impressed with was Emil Hemming. He is currently consolidated number 24, and this guy has a cannon of a shot. My God, he unleashed it a couple times, and oh man, he's a right-handed right winger. He's 6'2", 194 pounds, and he, you know, is pretty good at finding that OV spot and just hammering pucks. He's also really young. He's a June 27th birth date, so he'll turn 18 just before the draft. And he's someone who, you know, I could see someone taking a little bit of a swing on, you know, maybe towards the middle of the first round, because that shot is something you could really plop on a power play and be pretty excited about. I don't know if you have any thoughts about those Finns, Pete.
Yeah, I thought the Finns were a little overall disappointing, and especially because they're the host nation too, right? You'd like to see them do a little better. Konsta Hellenius was good, didn't score a goal, but he had 7 points in 5 games, so over a point a game. You know, he drove the offense pretty nicely. So did Hemming. I really liked him as well. I think Thomas, I forget how they pronounce his name, Suomi, S-U-O-N-I. Sure. Thank you. I really liked his. He was someone who I wasn't looking for. I wasn't expecting, right? I didn't have a pre-scouting book on him, but he captured my attention. And those players, I remember those players. You know, if I go into a tournament thinking, I really want to watch Liam Greentree, and then Liam Greentree doesn't do too much, I'm going to forget about that probably by September. But when I think back on this tournament, I go, who got my attention? Oh, that guy from Finland. Well, why do you say his name again? I'm going to remember him, because I thought he did a really good job of driving the offense, but really supporting the puck as well. And I thought he was pretty versatile also. I just thought he was impactful in more ways than leading the team in scoring. So I thought he was their best player.
Well, let's go on to your Canadians, the gold medal winning Canadian World Junior team, Pete.
Well, it all starts with Gavin McKenna, right? Holy smokes. UConn gold. They are calling him 20 points in the tournament. So he's not going to be available until the 2026 draft. This is a player worth tanking for. He's just 16 years old, and he's dominating a U18 tournament. 16, let that sink in. He's 16 years old. Can you imagine being as good as he is at hockey, at anything? Like being that good at anything when you're 16 years old or 50 years old. It's crazy to think how great he is and how much development path he has left before he hits the NHL draft and plays in the NHL. I mean, I don't really know what to say about him other than I was just blown away by his puck skills and his confidence and his play driving ability, his ability to make plays at speed, his he was breaking ankles out there when he was skating through. He was knocking guys down without even touching them, and the placement of his shots, the confidence he has in his shots to shoot from bad angles, and because he knows he's successful at it at that age is scary good, don't you think?
I mean, you said, can you imagine? I think only in my dreams. Like that's just, yeah, you watch him and you're just like, how is this kid the best player on this team? And he's 2 years younger than most of the other players on this team. It's just,
right?
It's absurd. I mean, it's kind of funny watching him and James Higgins. I mean, Higgins is incredible and he's a year younger. And you look at McKenna and it's like, okay, maybe he's not, I mean, he didn't score as many points as Higgins, and maybe some of the all-around game isn't there yet. But I mean, I think McKenna's ceiling is higher. I mean, clearly. The guy is ridiculous. He's 2 years younger. And it's like, well, some of the little things, just the way he like moves his body and like gets the shot off, like you're just like, you have to go back and watch it. Like every time, like that's a true sign of an elite scorer. You're like, I have to go back and watch the clip several times just to understand what they did. Like that's McKenna.
2 years, are we talking about him like we talk about Connor Bedard or Macklin Celebrini?
Oh, he's Bedard level.
I think Bedard's a level above Celebrini, or two or three, in fact. And I think, yes, Gavin McKenna is pacing Connor Bedard right now at 16 years old. There's a lot of time to go, right? This could be as good as he gets ever, and it's still going to be good enough to play in the NHL. But if he keeps developing at the rate that he's at, like, we're talking a generational player for sure.
Definitely.
Okay, another guy on Team Canada is another underage player that so much to love about him. Captain Porter Martone. So he's 17 years old and he's eligible for the 25 draft. So not this one coming up, but next. He's already got great size at 6'3". He was the captain of the Canadian gold medal U18 team at an age below, at 17 years old. And he's a late birthday player too, right? So he's older for the 25 draft class. He's already played two seasons in the Ontario Hockey League. So he's got a third season coming up that'll be his draft year. Given offensive production, his leadership abilities, his size, and plus one more year of development, this is a player who might be able to skip his senior year of junior hockey and could go straight from 25 draft into the NHL in D plus one season. What do you think about that, Victor? Do you think that's a possibility for Porter Martone?
I think so. And I was both incredibly impressed with Martone, but also I think in some ways what he did is slightly less impressive. And let me explain what McKenna did, just being 2 years younger, is like mind-boggling and how young he is. Martone, because he's an older 06, he's an October 26th birthday, he's going to be really old for the next draft class. So it's not that crazy that he was this good this tournament, but it is crazy that he was this good this tournament, if you know what I mean. Like, it both is and it isn't. And he was so impressive. Like, he's the guy I didn't know as much about, and when I watched, I'm just like, who's this captain kid? Who's like, what? How is he this good? Like, I hadn't really heard that much, you know, about him, and you know, because he's not eligible till next year, I hadn't studied too much on him, and he's huge, like you said. Like, how are you
this huge? Young and, he's fast. Huge. He's skilled. He's strong. He's a leader. Like
people
check
do
all
not.
The boxes, buddy. Check all those boxes.
No one was knocking him around. He was like initiating contact. He's physical. He's good at protecting the puck. Like, yeah, I mean, there's just like, I guess maybe if you had to say one bad thing, like, or you know, his speed isn't blazing and he's not like super dynamic with the puck, but those are like not even real negative things, because he has so many other positives about him. Like, he's really impressive for sure.
Doesn't he look like an NHL player already?
I mean, he kind of does. Like, he's not the kind that cheats for offense. He's always like kind of on the right side of the puck. Like, he was very solid, dependable. Like, you can put him out in any situation pretty much.
You know who else looked like that this tournament is TJ Ginla. He was impressive all around. His play all over the ice in every situation was really, really strong. He really excelled, I thought, at setting the pace and creating momentum and opportunity for Team Canada. When he was on the ice, usually good things were happening. He was driving the play very well. He finished a lot of plays. He had good production, but his board play and puck retrievals, I thought, were the best parts of his game in this tournament. And he scored a lot, so pretty good. I think this is a player that I'm projecting as a surefire NHL player, right? Like, his NHL certainty level for me is like 100%. I'm not sure that he'll have, you know, we're looking at the bloodlines and, you know, oh, Jerome McGinley's kid, and so he's going to be a 50 goal scorer, yada, yada, yada. I'm not sold on his offensive upside at the NHL at this point, right? He's still got another year of junior to develop his offensive game. So we'll see. This time next year, I might be saying absolutely. So, you know, I'm not saying he's going to be a Hart Trophy and a Rocket Richard Trophy winner, but I'm not saying it's impossible either. I'm just not sure of it yet. But he will play for a long time, I think, in the NHL and be a really impactful player. And now if that's better NHL player or a better fantasy player or just good at both remains to be seen. But I'm very confident that he'll have a good long NHL career. And, you know, that could start pretty soon too, because he's also a late birthday. He's an August kid. So, you know, he's got the size and the skill and play driving and all the things that I just said. So he's another player that I wouldn't be surprised if he foregoes his senior year of junior hockey eligibility and just jumps straight into the NHL. Do you think, who do you like better for playing in the NHL in their D+1 season? Martone or Iginla?
I think Iginla, but that might also be because I've seen more of Iginla, so maybe I'm biased that way. But, and also being the kid of a Hall of Famer, I think he has just the maturity in his game is ridiculous. And you're totally right about Iginla. Like, watching that when you watch the game like that, a high intensity game, there's so much sway of momentum. And I think that's the best thing I can say about Iginla. He played like pretty much the same way all the time. Like, it didn't really matter if Canada was up or down. Iginla was setting the tone. He was forechecking. He was winning puck battles. And that's what you need. You know, like, maybe you don't always have the best, you know, offensive, you know, dynamic play going on, but you need to win those battles. You need to get the puck. You know, you need to have possession. He was doing that all the time. It didn't matter up or down, you know, leading, whatever. He was a beast all the time. Yeah. And it didn't stop. Like, you, like, he just kept going. And it was like, you could just tell, like, he's the kind of guy that anyone would want on their team all the time. And I totally think he could, to your point, I think he could play in the NHL soon. And the other crazy thing is that, you know, a year ago, we were talking about Iginla not at all. He was a nobody on that Seattle Thunderbirds team. Everyone knew that he was Jerome Iginla's son, but yeah. It was like, yeah, he might get drafted in like the fourth or fifth round or whatever. And like, yeah, whatever. But his trajectory, his ascent this year has been insane. And I think that's the other thing is like his trajectory, it continues to go sky high. So like,
got a year to go. Where are we going to be like, at this time next year?
Because he's so young. What is the upside here? I really do think it's a top line power forward. Like, that's what he's going to be.
Yeah. I think he's, you know, guess who's picking right at number 9?
I know. Make it happen.
You know, do you think he can get past Calgary? I mean, I think he could, but name value alone, man, when you hear the word Iginla, you think of an amazing player. And we've seen so many kids now coming to the league because we're so old that we're seeing their kids and Pete probably seen their grandkids. But I'm kidding.
But hey, if I'd seen these kids' grandkids, I'd have seen the Leafs win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, right. You're right. Sorry, but we didn't get to that yet. Sorry. But yeah, no, he's an exciting player. Seems to be a little more dynamic than his dad. You know, he's not that kind of bulldog type player, but you can't deny his talent. He does look like a little bit different to me than Jerome did. But I think he's a perfect fit right there at Calgary. And I couldn't, you know, you can see, I can picture Jerome pounding the table at the draft for him. So
I know I want to bring my Iginla jersey to Vegas.
Yeah.
And just like wear it under my suit. And then when they draft him, I'll rip my suit shirt off. I'm like, yeah.
It wasn't like Jerome Iginla. He was great.
Right? He's the best. All right. Next guy I want to talk about off Team Canada is Carter George. He looked all right, huh? So this draft coming up, it's a really good draft. I'm really excited for it. It's got some super elite forwards and, you know, top pair defensemen inside the top 10 to 15. You know, McKenzie just released his top 15 ranks, and he was saying how it's incredible that in 35 years, he doesn't remember a draft like this, where after number one, the next like 15 picks are like, meh, depends who you ask. It's just so good at the top, right? And it's a pretty deep draft too. There's good players as you go further on down. And the knock on this draft has been, for my opinion anyways, is that it really lacks elite goalie prospects. It's, you know, probably one of the worst drafts in recent years for goalies. Or is it? Carter George looked every bit elite in this tournament. He played pretty much the whole time for Canada. And there were some stretches there where Canada was playing meh teams, you know, relegation-y kind of teams, and he was getting absolutely nothing. And then there'd be a stretch where all of a sudden he was getting peppered. And, you know, he didn't go cold. He stayed focused. And there were times where Canada was playing good teams. And the good teams like the USA and Sweden were really taking it to Canada. Like, they were badly outplaying Canada. Badly. And if it weren't for Carter George, there would have been some lopsided scores not in Canada's favor. Like, they were getting roasted, and he made some really big saves. A lot of saves that he should have, a few saves that he shouldn't have. And, you know, he made one in the USA game, arm on the goal line, that was just unbelievable.
He did that twice, Pete. Twice.
Yeah. Well, the second one wasn't quite it wasn't as smooth as the first shot. One. Yeah, yeah. But it was pretty much kind of a carbon copy. Yeah. So, you know, I watched him live once this season when he came through Kingston, and, you know, Kingston doesn't put up the same kind of offense as USA or Team Sweden did. But, you know, they got some players, and he made some nice saves, but Kingston also scored some goals. So I was just like, yeah, you know, he's good. He's draft eligible. Yeah, he's worth picking in the top four rounds. Well, let me tell you, a tournament is not supposed to really change your opinion too much of a player one way or the other, right? But it really has for me for Carter George. Now, I'm really not a goalie scout. I don't really understand goaltending mechanics and psychology very well. But what I do know is, he won them the gold medal. That's all there is to it. They had no business winning that game. It's as much his fault as it is Trevor Connolly's. Those two players conspired to turn the outcome of that game around. USA had no business losing that game. They were beating Canada badly, and Carter George really saved the day and put Canada in a position where when they had a chance and then they got one, they were still within striking distance of only being down. Two goals they were down, right? They scored three times on the power play.
Take I believe they were down one. They tied. Oh, they were down two? Oh, that's right. They were down two.
Right.
And then they were up one after that.
Yeah. So, and then when the penalty ended, USA pushed back. And he kept them in it. He made some key saves. And I don't know about you guys, but he was in on my draft board around 40-50. And now I'm not sure where I have him now, but I'm telling you, he leapfrogged many players, and he was in a group of goalies. I had three goalies in the same group, and it's him. And then he left the other guys in the dust. He's way ahead. Is this a player you guys are interested in fantasy drafts?
I mean, in general, I don't pick goalies in this early, like unless I had like a fourth or fifth round pick, I probably wouldn't be too interested, because not only is he a goalie, but he's still 17. He's not going to turn 18 until May 20th. So he's on the younger side. It's going to be 4 or 5 years until he, you know, is in the NHL. But there's certainly leagues where, you know, you're going to hold someone that long. And I do think he absolutely, like you said, it's between him and Trevor Connolly for player of the tournament for Canada. Because, yeah, they definitely.
Sorry, Trevor.
Yeah, as you said, they conspired. I mean, you're right. Like, the U.S. was absolutely taking it to Canada for most of the first half of that game. And Carter George just stood on his head. And it was, I mean, he made some incredible saves, but he also made some more subtle saves that didn't pull you out of your seat as much, but were all the same impressive. I was just looking up some of his numbers because he actually in the tournament had fewer goals saved than expected. So he was under the expected line for that tournament, but it's a 7-game sample size, so I'm not sure how much you can read into that. But and for Owen Sound, he's over that. He had a 1.14 goal save above expected, so that's pretty good. And in his other international appearances with Canada, he has saved more goals than expected. So I know it's sometimes hard to read these things when you're talking about, you know, OHL goalies, because there's just not always the same structure and everything. But he definitely, you know, raised his stock. He probably is getting drafted in the second round, at least based on that performance. I don't know that he slips into the first round, but he might be one of the, you know, first or second, definitely top three goalies selected. And I could see him going a bit earlier. And I definitely think we should have interest because he showed you can be a big time goalie. It's no small feat to do what he did on the biggest stage.
He's played in his way into the number one position for goalies drafted. One last player from Canada I kind of wanted to just touch briefly on is Henry Muse. So I'm a bit of a champion for Henry Muse now, I've decided. I've seen him live several times now at the Ottawa 67s, both in Ottawa and here in Kingston. And I've seen him on TV in a couple big tournaments now. And I hear the concerns that people have with him. I understand, you know, decision-making. And I see the errors. So I just think he's an inconsistent player, which is okay, because he's 17 years old. Almost all of these players are relatively inconsistent. They show flashes of upside, and then they show opportunities where maybe their effort level is a little low, or they make a bad decision, or they have a giveaway or a turnover, whatever. I mean, it happens with kids this age, right? But as they don't learn to make the corrections, well, then that's a problem, right? And then that's the reason why you see players who looked good at a certain age not really get past the American Hockey League level. So I'm not saying that Henry Muse is a surefire player, because, well, I just can't say that. But I see the good decisions that he makes. I see the impact that he can make in a game. He can drive the play. He makes good defensive plays. I've seen him defend two-on-ones perfectly. Took away the pass, gave the guy a shot, and worked it out so that the angle on the shot was not very threatening. The goalie made the save. He diffused the play. I've seen him create transition where he takes the puck from behind his net, skates it up the ice. Saw it in this tournament. He gained zone entry for Canada pretty regularly. You know, I thought that was great. And then running the power play, there were some times where, you know, it looked pretty good. He'd walk the line a little bit. He'd find better passing lanes. He made quick one-touch passes. And then there's also some opportunities where he made some decisions where, you know, he'd pinch up a little bit and skated into a dead play and caused a turnover. That's inconsistent play. So maybe what I'm saying here is his draft rankings earlier in the season, like this time last year when we were projecting him as like a top 15 player, that might have been a little too high. I'm not saying he's that, but people are dropping him out of the first round, and I think I'm erring a caution against that. And, you know, if I've got a late pick in my fantasy draft and the top 10 defensemen are already gone, I would absolutely look at Henry Muse in that range, or, you know, an Aaron Kiviharju range as well. I think he's going to be a great bridesmaid defenseman for a lot of people's drafts this year if they miss out on their Sam Dickinsons or Lev Shunovs. You know, what'd you guys got to see a little bit of Henry Muse in this tournament. What'd you think?
I didn't really notice him that much, and I haven't seen him live like you have, so. I mean, I agree with what you're saying. He's probably like he's not going to enter in the probably top, I don't know, 7 or 8 defensemen for me. But he certainly seems like someone who, you know, could provide value. And like you said, inconsistent play is something you kind of expect from players at this age. You know, they're going to grow and mature and, you know, refine their game. You're just drafting on potential here. He certainly seems like he has a good amount.
Yeah, yeah. So that's all the players that I prepped for. I'm just kind of scrolling through the scoring leaders of the tournament here. So I'll throw a couple names at you guys and see if you had some hot takes on any of these guys. I really liked what I saw from Alphonse Frey. I think he's a defenseman who is going to be stock rising. He really drove the play for Sweden, I thought, a little on the small side, but pretty shifty. Pretty good offensive instincts, I thought. I liked what I saw from him. You guys thoughts on Frey at all?
I definitely agree. I saw a good amount from him, and I was like, whoa, he surprised me a couple times. Like, that was a slick move. He had some good escape moves. He had some good pulling the puck to the middle and, you know, creating some space for himself and teammates and getting the puck in dangerous positions. I definitely like that. I don't know. I still wonder if his offensive ability is dynamic enough at the NHL level to run a top power play. I kind of think he's more like a tweener, like maybe a more of a second power play guy, but there's potential there, and he could certainly build on that and grow into a top PP guy.
Did you guys see Cam Robinson's Elite Prospects video where he was interviewing players from TSA, Team USA, asking them questions like white or black stick tape?
Mm-hmm.
And did you see him standing next to LJ Mooney?
I didn't know who they all were when he was standing next to him, but yeah.
Well, LJ Mooney was the Hobbit.
Oh.
He's so small. He looked like a Hobbit compared to Cam. And Cam's a decent sized guy, but he's not huge.
I think he's six. He told me he's 6'3".
That's Cam? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there was a significant size discrepancy between the two of them. But on the ice, man, that kid's got wheels, huh? He can move. I really liked what I saw from him too. Viggo Nordlund is another player from Sweden that I thought he was surprisingly good. This is another player who, you know, I didn't have a pre-draft report on Viggo Nordlund either. And I just kept taking notice of him. Like, who's that guy? Oh, it's that Nordlund guy again. Oh, that was a really nice play. Who was that? Nordlund again. And that's what I like about these tournaments is they uncover players that you haven't really maybe heard about or people aren't too high on or not enough people are talking about. And then you see them in a tournament like this and you're like, oh man, let's pay attention to this guy. So he's a player who wasn't on my draft list because he's 2025 eligible. But yeah, maybe that's why not a lot of people are talking about him. But I'm starting the buzz. 2025 draft, Viggo Nordlund. Look him up.
I like it.
All right. Well, I guess it's time to move on to the men's world championship. We'll talk about that on the next episode. That's another tournament that starts like 2 days. Not a lot of prospects in it. I went over the rosters and there's not too many teenagers in it. And it's not going to have Celebrini anymore. So that's a bit of a bummer.
But it does have Trey Augustine and both the USA goalies. Our Red Wings.
Well, there you go.
Trey Augustine actually looked pretty good today. Didn't they play Slovakia in a pre-tournament game or whatever? That was today. I saw him. He stopped 5-5 in the shootout.
Yeah, well, it was a good week for hockey watching last week. I had World U18s to watch during the day and then Stanley Cup round one in the night. Now they're both over and I'm sad again.
Yeah. But we got playoff hockey to hold us over.
Yeah. Well, the finals are on in the CHL as well now. So it's going to be London and Oshawa in the OHL final. So we'll see which one of those teams is able to punch their ticket to the Memorial Cup and join Saginaw. So that's it for everyone for episode 56. Thanks very much for tuning in. We appreciate you listening and giving us your time. If you want to reach out to us, our handles are at DPR score. Our handles are at DPR underscore show, at Farling, at Victor Nuno 12, and at Sabre 91. We're part of the Hockey Podcast Network, so follow at Hockey Pod Net. There's a bunch of good shows on there. And then, of course, wherever you're listening, hit the like, subscribe, even the review button if you're so inclined. Give us a shout. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you on the next episode. Until then, everyone, keep those sticks on the ice.
That's the fact, Jack!
That's the fact, Jack!
Let's do that hockey.